Morning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. If you recall, last week I began a series of sermons on Abraham, and really today's sermon is a continuation. It's part two of what I had to say to you last week. And maybe you would remember we were talking about the faith of Abraham, and that's what he is known for. He had such a strong faith in God. In fact, he is known as the father of all who believe. I gave you two challenges that if you want to have the faith of Abraham, then these two points need to be true for you. Point number one, last week, whenever God speaks, listen. Have your ears open to him. And point number two, whatever God commands, obey. And by the way, if you missed last week's sermon, I would encourage you to go to our church website and listen to that sermon. We need to pursue the faith of Abraham in our life. Let me give to you a third point. If we want to have the faith that Abraham had, then this needs to be true of us. Wherever God leads, follow. Did you notice from the text there in Hebrews chapter 11, as God called Abraham to go to a land that he would show him? In other words, he didn't know where God was leading him. All he knew was that he should go. And keep in mind, Abraham was 75 years old at this time. And wouldn't you agree with me, most 75-year-old people at this point in their life, they are not too anxious to just pack everything up and go on an adventure. Can you imagine this conversation that he had with Sarai, his wife? Now keep in mind, at this point in the story, they are known as Abram and Sarai. We know them better as Abraham and Sarah, but they're not going to get those names changed until later in their story. So this is a conversation that might have taken place between Abram and Sarai. Abram says, "Hey, honey, I want to talk with you about something." "Okay," Sarai says, "what do you want to talk with me about?" "We're moving." "We're what?" "We're moving." M-O-V-I-N-G, you know, we're moving. God told me that we needed to move. "Well, who's God?" "You know, God, our Creator. He started talking to me. He told me that we needed to move from here." And Sarai says, "Well, when?" "Immediately," Abraham said. as soon as we get our bags packed. Sarai says, well, where are we going? And for how long? Abram says, I don't know where we're going. He hasn't told me that yet. And we may not be coming back. Sarai says, let me get this straight. God has told you that we need to move, but he hasn't told you where to. And he's told you that we need to move right now, immediately. And Abram says, yes, that's right. You got it. Sarai says, well, Abe, what about our families? What about our home? This is where our roots are. This is where we have both been. We've been born and raised here. This is where our friends are. This is all we've ever known. And you're telling me that this God, whom I cannot see, and I have never heard him talk to me, you're telling me that he's saying to you that we need to leave everything behind. We need to pack up our things right now, and we need to go somewhere that we don't even know where we're going. And we need to say goodbye to all of those that we love, and we need to leave to go to this unknown place. Is that what you're saying to me? And Abe says, yes, babe, you got it right. Oh my. It's hard to imagine such a conversation, much less it's absolutely amazing that they both submitted to God's plan. They were willing to go where God was leading, even though they didn't have a clue as to where that was. Remember, our theme for the year is trusting God. Abram and Sarai are examples to us of what it means to trust God, that we would go wherever he leads, and it won't always be easy. But I think they would be the first to step in line and give a testimony that when you obey God, when you go where he leads you to go, that there is always a blessing on the other side waiting for us. Sometimes God leads us out of our comfort zone so that we can trust him more. I just want you to let those words sink into your mind and heart for a moment. Sometimes God leads us out of our comfort zone so that we can trust him more. You know, as long as we stay in our comfort zone, then things are pretty easy. We're used to that. But when we are called out of our comfort zone, then that gets a little difficult. And we have to look up to him. That's at least we need to look up to him. And that's when really our life grows in faith in Jesus. Sometimes God leads us out of our comfort zone so that we can trust him more. I think I have told you this story before about my call from God into ministry. I think it's been a while since I've told you that story. I'd like to tell it again, and maybe it will encourage you to follow God's lead, and it'll remind me that I need to follow God's lead, because on the other side is God's blessing. I had dedicated my life to Christian ministry as a young teenager. But over those teenage years, my commitment to Christian ministry faded a bit. Now, I still planned to go to Ozark Christian College. There was never a question about that. And that's where my brother went. That's where my sister went. I had always planned to go there. That's where I decided, you know, I needed to do that. I went to Ozark. I loved it. That first year was good for me. The studies were great. The friendships I made were good. The atmosphere was great. And yet I just couldn't see how God could use me in ministry. And I went that whole summer between my freshman year of college and my sophomore year of college. I was working a job and debating in my own mind what I was going to do in the fall. I know God was working on me, but maybe I wasn't listening. It came down to the week before the fall semester was to begin, and still I hadn't decided for sure what I was going to do. I knew going back to Ozark Christian, that would not be the best choice for me if I wasn't going to be a preacher. Because really, that's what Ozark is all about, is training preachers. So I was praying for God's leading. I said, Lord, this Sunday, this coming Sunday in church, you have to show me what you want me to do. And yes, I guess I was looking for a sign of some sort. I had not mentioned this prayer to anyone else, and the preacher that morning got up to preach, and he preached a sermon on why God needs more preachers. And I never looked back after that. I followed God's lead, and I'm glad I did. I have to tell you, it hadn't always been easy. It hasn't been an easy pathway, but it's been the pathway that He wanted me on. And those concerns that I had early on about whether God could use me, I learned early on, it's not really about my talents or abilities, it's about Him. And if I can surrender to Him, He can use me and He can use you too. If you surrender to Him, He can use you. And so my question to you is simply this: will you go where He leads you to go? I wonder if there's some young people here this morning that God is trying to lead you into ministry. And you may be thinking, God could never use me in ministry. Yes, He can. He most definitely can if you surrender to Him. And if you're one of those young people that God is, He's tugging at your heart, He's trying to lead you in that direction towards ministry, don't fight it. And I would just bet that for a lot of us in this room, there are people whom God is trying to lead just even to their next door neighbor to talk with them about Jesus. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your next door neighbor. It's your neighbor, your fellow person, your friend that may live across town from you, but He's leading you to talk to that person about Jesus, or maybe just to give an invitation to them to come to church. We have Easter just a month away. Why don't you go where God is leading you to go and give that invitation for that person to come to Easter service with you? There are two Sundays out of the year that those out there in the world are most likely to respond yes to an invitation. And Easter is one of those. The other is Christmas Sunday. Give an invitation to someone to come to church with you this Easter. Maybe He's leading you in that direction. Maybe He's leading you to get more connected here at Reinhardt. Maybe He's leading you to be baptized by immersion. You've been coming here for a while, and you know that's what the Bible says. Why don't you just go where He is leading you? Stop fighting it. Stop resisting the Spirit's lead and step into the water and receive the blessing that he has promised for you. Maybe he's leading you down the road of forgiving that person who has offended you. You hear me talk a lot about that. I do that because I know that is a reality for a lot of folks. We have been hurt by other people, and it is so easy to carry that hurt with us, and a grudge, a feeling of resentment begins to grow in our heart. The book of Hebrews calls it the root of bitterness. And for a lot of us, we feel that root of bitterness, and God has a better way. He is trying to lead you down the pathway of letting go of that hurt, of giving that hurt to him, and letting go of that resentment towards that other person. And as you do that, there's going to be a blessing on the other side. I had someone call me on the phone early part of the week, and they said, "Kevin, just need to talk with you about how to forgive. I've been hurt, and I've carried this hurt with me for a long time, and I hear you talk about it in your preaching. I need to let go of this. I need to overcome it. Can you just tell me how to do it?" And we had a conversation for quite a while on the phone. I bet there's some others who could make that kind of a phone call and say, "I want to forgive. I want to overcome the grudge that I have towards this other person." Will you follow his lead? Abram said, "Yes, I will go, Lord." And Sarai says, "Yes, I will go." And their lives would never be the same after that. Now, here's a fourth point. If you want to have the faith of Abraham, then give attention to this point in your life. Whatever God gives, share. There's an interesting story in Genesis 14 that I want to call to your attention. Abram's nephew, Lot, was taken captive by a group of kings who had joined together. These kings fought against Sodom, where Lot was living, and they took Lot and his family and all of the people who lived in Sodom that weren't killed in the battle. They took those people as captive. And I suppose they were going to make slaves out of all of them. And the word came to Abram that his nephew had been taken captive. What did Abram do? I'll tell you what he did not do. He did not say, "Well, that's his tough luck. He should have never moved to Sodom in the first place. Besides, it's really none of my business. I don't want to get my nose in that situation. I don't want to risk getting myself killed or anybody else in my household killed." No, that was not Abram's response. Instead, he gathered the men from his household immediately, the scripture says, 318 of them, and they went after those four kings. And Abram caught up with them. He divided his forces into two groups. He attacked them during the night, and he whipped them good. And Lot was rescued from captivity along with his whole family. As Abram was traveling back home, a priest by the name of Melchizedek came to him. Does that name sound familiar to you? You will find Melchizedek's name in the book of Hebrews out of the New Testament. And in the discussion of Melchizedek in that book, Jesus' high priesthood ministry is likened, it's compared to Melchizedek's ministry. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. Now, you have to follow this pretty closely to see who the he is. Who is it that gave the tenth to who? Abram gave the tenth to Melchizedek. A tenth of all the spoils from his battle. It was a gift of gratitude that Abram was giving to God for his divine help in battle. What Abram was given by God, he gave back a portion to God. It's the first record in the Bible of a tithe given. It was given out of gratitude and worship. Of course, a tithe means one-tenth. Keep in mind, Abram could have kept all of the spoils from the battle for himself. But he didn't do that. He gave a tenth of those spoils of the battle to God through Melchizedek, the priest. It came from God, so with an open hand, he gave a portion of it back to God. I want to encourage you to put your trust in God enough that you would become a tither if you're not already. Let that sink in. Probably some of you already are tithing and you're giving way beyond the tithe. And that is a good thing. The New Testament law of giving was not 10%. You might be surprised to hear me say that. The New Testament law of giving was not 10%. Do you know what the New Testament law of giving is? That we would give as we have been given to. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, "As the Lord has prospered you, so give." There's the New Testament law of giving. The more God has given to you, the more you give back to Him. The tithe is a very good place to start, as it was taught in the Old Testament. And in fact, Jesus commended the tithe, but it's not where we stay with our giving. If you have been blessed by God, then give accordingly. It is an act of faith, and God always blesses faith. We're talking about trusting God. We're talking about having a deep faith in God. And one of the areas that we need to trust Him with, one of the areas that we need to have a strong faith in Him about, is our finances. And a good rule to follow is, I give to God first. Because He's given to me. He has blessed me. He has prospered me. And I would imagine there are some folks here today that get uncomfortable with this topic. And probably you're uncomfortable with it because it's an area that you need to grow in. It's an area that you need to take a step of faith in. And I want to challenge you to do that. I never see the records of the giving here at this church. I don't know who tithes and who does not, but I know one thing. God knows. God knows. And he's calling for you to put him first in your finances. He's calling for you to trust him enough to take this step and to be generous towards him. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I want you to know, we are not after your money here in this church. But we are wanting you to have your heart with him. And the scripture is very, very clear that as we have our heart with him, he'll have control of our pocketbook. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As I said earlier, God often will call us out of our comfort zone so that we can trust him more and see his reward in our life. We can never outgive God. I'll give to you one more point here as we talk about having the faith of Abraham. Point number 5, whatever God promises, believe. Actually, as I finish this 4-week series on Abraham, and then we get through Easter, then we are going to start a 4-week series on the promises of God. And the fact is, we need to trust whatever God promises us. Abraham did that. God said to this 100-year-old man, and by this time his name is Abraham, he said, I want you to look up into the sky and see the stars, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham trusted God with that promise, knowing that his wife Sarah, her name had been changed to Sarah, knowing that she was not far behind him in age. She's 90 years old. He's 100 years old. God's promising them a child. And from a human standpoint, there was no way that was going to happen. Their bodies were as good as dead, the scripture says. But Abraham believed God's promise. And later when God told Abraham to offer up his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice, he still believed that God would keep his promise of multiplying his descendants. He trusted God to stay true to his word. Let me read something to you that my son-in-law Luke said in a sermon about a year ago. I quote, he said, we took our boys over spring break down to Indiana Caverns, a couple of hours south of Indianapolis. It's amazing. You hike down into this cave, there's a huge underground waterfall, fossils, there's a boat ride on an underground river. It's one of the longest continuous cave systems in the world. And we watched the video of the guys who discovered this cave system within the last 20 years. They went down deep, miles and miles through tight spaces, winding turns, pitch black. And he says this, how in the world do they find their way back? Well, they string a cord as they go from the entrance deep into the darkness. And as they try to find their way back to the light, there's always the cord that they hang on to, even when they don't know the way. And then he concludes with this, God's promises are like that. Now, what did he mean by that? If we hold on to God's promises, they will always bring us back home. They will bring us back to where we need to be. They will be the stabilizing factor on a road that is very difficult to travel. In fact, sometimes the road may seem impossible to travel, but if we hang on to His promises, we will find our way back home. And so that's why I encourage you to know the promises of God, to search your scriptures and find those promises and hang on to them, because they will help you through the hardships of life. The promise of forgiveness, the promise of His presence and His power, the promise of provision, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of heaven, the promise of victory, the promise of a baby boy that will lead to descendants as numerous as the stars that are in the sky and as the sand that is on the seashore. You know what? God will never break His promise to you. He'll always keep His promises. All we have to do is hold on to Him. Let's pray together.